I wanted to start the sermon today with a very brief testimony from Dr. Charles Stanley. He is the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and he served there for 40 years or more and is now in his 80s and has been having a national ministry for over 35 years. And recently, Dr. Stanley said this about himself during a sermon. He simply held up his Bible and he said, "Would it shock you to hear that I cannot live this Christian life?" And of course, it had everybody's attention. You know, what was he saying? Who did he put his trust in for following Jesus? He said, "I cannot live this Christian life." And then he went on to say, "And neither can you." And he said, "Can I get an amen?" And if the Lord was there, which he was, of course, the Lord would have said amen. Because God's Word tells us clearly that God alone can give us the ability to follow Christ and to live as a believer. Without His help, we're powerless. Just like we're powerless to go to heaven on our own strength, we're powerless to follow Christ on our own strength. So on a regular basis, you and I, and the most committed believers around us, like Charles Stanley and so on, that we're going to feel like the Apostle Paul did in Romans chapter 7 when Paul, the veteran Christian, said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death?" Okay, he was overwhelmed by his own spiritual weakness on his own. And he just put that forth before the Roman church. Occasionally we'll feel like the Apostle John also when John wrote in 1 John, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." So a real believer in Christ is going to say on a regular basis, "I know I have sinned and I need God's help to get away from all that." And occasionally we'll feel like Solomon in Proverbs 24 who said, "Though a righteous man falls 7 times a day, he rises again." So you might look across the sanctuary and think, I know that person, he's a righteous man, this gal's a righteous gal. And, you know, Solomon would say, well, they're probably gonna rebel against God 7 times a day, either literal number or a number that you can't really count. And yet they're going to rise because of the grace and mercy of God. We're going to recognize our limitation and our need for God's holiness to intervene on our behalf. God would be glad to share His holiness with us. That's a part of His character. We're not holy. He is holy. And so He was glad to share His holiness with us. When we receive Christ, it starts a new life, and He can helps us live on in a walk more and more in obedience to Him. And so one thing we can say, through Christ who strengthens us, you and I have the ability to obey God and trust Him with our lives. Okay, through Christ who lives in us, we have the strength to follow the Lord and to obey Him in every way. This change is brought about in our lives by God, and it is called sanctification. It's a big word with a real clear meaning. Give you a couple angles on the meaning of it. But Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "God's plan for us from the beginning of time was to place His Son into the heart of every believer." So here we are on our own, weak and not able to follow Christ. And, of course, because God gives us His own Spirit, puts Christ in our heart, now we're able to say, "Well, I have a new desires, new power, new ability that I didn't have on my own." And the Lord could do that for, He does that for each one of us if we've received Christ into our hearts. Sanctification is simply Christ in you, the anchor of heaven or the hope of glory. Heard a sermon the other day, Christ is compassionate, conquering. So His presence and power does help us change who we are. And it's quite a thing the Lord does on our behalf. Sanctification is becoming Christ-like in character. It's a process and involves progress. Simpler definition, sanctification is when God makes us holy in a day-by-day, moment-by-moment enabling or empowering. Again, he does that by his grace and mercy. You might think of it this way. The Christian needs sanctification like the lost guy needs salvation. Okay? The Christian needs sanctification like the lost guy needs salvation. What does the lost guy do? Well, a bad response would be, I know that Jesus died and rose again. That's good. I kind of believe in that. And I try to be a good person. I do some good things. Yeah, I'm sure I'm interested in Christ. Not so sure that I need to do anything for salvation. That's an improper response. Christian response to sanctification. Hey, I'm trusting Christ. The Bible tells me I'm going to heaven, and I'm try to follow the commandments in some manner. And I slept in all day yesterday, so I hardly did anything wrong. And so, do I have it? I'm a holy guy. That would be improper response. We need character change that only God can bring about, and He works on us faithfully in that manner. And another view on sanctification, simple, following Jesus, being set free from the power of sin. A little 5-year-old boy asked his dad once, Daddy, if Jesus saves me from my sin, how come I still do wrong things? How come I still do wrong things? That's a great question. And I think the dad said, you're going to be asking that question when you're 90 years old still. But the dad gave this answer. He said, Jesus is saving you from the power of sin, because without Christ you'd be 100 times more of a rascal than you are now. And besides that, you are not in heaven yet. You are not in heaven yet. God is sharing with you His character and helping you grow. And so the believer needing that with a measure of intensity, same intensity as you and I did when we received Christ as our Lord. And Colossians 2 talks about Jesus being in us and some of the results of that. Because Christ is who He is, God's Son, we can have the full riches of understanding. If you think about, if I had a very sharp mind, what I would do with that mind is seek the most fantastic, powerful, immense one or topic that I could throw myself into and seek to follow after. That would be a good thing to do with my mind if I had a very high IQ. Give your mind to something or someone that you'll spend your whole life pursuing and not quite become an expert in. And that would be the Lord. Okay. That He lets us know about Himself and how to live life, and therefore we can pursue Him with all that He's invited us to. Also, in Jesus, there's treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Someone said Jesus is more complex than quantum physics. Never studied quantum physics, so I'll take the person's word for it, how complex it is. But also, He's as down to earth as that a 2-year-old could understand Him. That's the Lord. It's in Him. So at whatever level of following God we're at, really, really, really far down the road, and hear people talk, I've been studying the Bible for 60 years and so on. That's good. And can I see you live it well for 60 years? And then to have the treasures of wisdom, to know that Christ is simple enough for us to respond to Him no matter at what level we're at. We are to live in Him and be built up in Him. That's a privilege. Have the fullness of Christ and be alive in Christ. That nothing and no one is better than the Lord. Franklin Graham's grandson recently wrote a book called Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything. That you and I as believers, C.S. Lewis said, if you have the Lord and don't have anything, you really have as much in your soul as the person who has the Lord and everything from creation. But Christ is that overwhelming and that powerful. and to think He works on our soul to conform us to the image of His Son, a true gift that God would give you and I. Changed people's lives throughout history, and God invites us to experience that change from Him on a day-by-day basis. But really, again, we need to be as hungry for God's work in us as we would be for our salvation. And you think back on your days as a person who didn't know the Lord. You think, okay, I could sense I'm apart from God. I'm definitely going to hell instead of going to heaven. I'm crying out to God for His salvation. I need His help. That's what you and I did when we first met Christ. And in God's work in our lives, we're to have the same humility or desperation or admission of need for His holiness. Say, Lord, I know, just like Dr. Stanley there, I know that without You, I can't even get close to being a Christian that's, you know, has any integrity whatsoever. But I need Your help. And would You be Yourself in me? Would You live Your life through me and conform me to the image of Christ? I surrender my life to You. A.B. Simpson discovered that in his life. He helped start the fellowship of the Christian Missionary Alliance. He didn't plan on it, but that's what happened. He was a solid Christian for 20 years. Pastor, very effective and competent and so on. And then he started to struggle, started to realize his own limitations, had a lot of condemning of his own self, felt like God was disappointed in him on a regular basis. And then he looks in the Bible and he sees that Christ lives in him. And he starts to think about Christ more than about his own efforts. And it really changes his life. He thinks about the Lord in him. And there's a rest and a rejoicing and a struggling progress more than a despair or a self-improvement plan. As one preacher said, you know, being a Christian is not, I'm pretty good today and I'm going to get a little bit better next week, and then a year from now I'll be a little bit better, and then I'll be a little bit better after that. Being a Christian is more, I yield myself to Christ and He's all my goodness for the present in the future, and He takes care of the past, that which was not right in His eyes. But Simpson wrote this song, which is a powerful one, easier to say than sing. So here's the words, kind of A.B. Simpson's testimony. This is my wonderful story. Christ to my heart has come. Jesus, the King of glory, finds in my heart a home. Christ in me, a wonderful story. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And to have that for our testimony, to say, thank You, Lord, You reside in me. You're going to bring about the changes in my life that I really need. Charles Spurgeon, this is a part of his testimony, very godly follower of the Lord from the 1800s. All the goodness I have within me is totally from God alone. When I sin, it's from me. When I act righteously, it's wholly and completely of God. And when I am victorious, it's the Lord's strength that has powered my arms. So he feels like God is, you know, helping him. And I think God wants us to know that. That we don't have to, even though we realize our sin and are very sensitive to that real problem, that we see Christ more than the faults and sins that we have. And his goodness comes and brings momentum to our soul. Christ lives in him, and he was thankful. One more testimony from a contemporary man, Eugene Peterson. This is his paraphrase of part of Colossians 2. He says, Christ is in you. So he's kind of saying what Paul said. Therefore, you can look forward to God's glory. I like the word, that's the anchor of heaven. It's really what the Greek says. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the gospel. There's such sufficiency in Christ. When we turn to Him, we could say, now I know what life is. Christ is our life. To be mature is basic. Christ, no more and no less. I love that sentence because you think, well, that's very brief, you know. Christ. But you can't get any higher standard of walking with the Lord than Christ's character in the believer. And so that's what the Lord offers to us. And we could say, Lord, bring that about. You know, however imperfectly you and I are at this point in life, that's not the issue. But Christ can start with where we are and teach us to live a devout, holy life. And he goes on to say, I'm working hard, paraphrasing Paul, doing my best with the energy God so generously gives me. And you and I face problems in life and very difficult ones. Family, pain, sometimes pain in our vocation or calling or, you know, looking for work. Often physical problems. Probably a dozen people or so connected to our church fighting cancer. But those people know who know the Lord that their biggest problem all the time is not a loss of a job or you know, trying to figure out another person's quirks or even cancer. Their biggest problem is sin. Okay, that's my biggest problem all the time, and our biggest problem all the time. That pushes God away and, you know, blocks our fellowship and friendship with Him. And God would come and actually say, hey, let me not only deliver you from the penalty of sin, which He does so graciously, but the power of sin. So that when we think of heaven, we say, thank the Lord, I'm going to get there through the grace of God. And when we think of, all of life, here's a chance to obey God and honor Him. And He helps us do that because His Spirit lives in us. And the Lord is faithful to bring that about. I think if you're going to pray for a sense of hunger for the goodness of God in your life. Don't give up on God's work in you, because He works in and through us as His children. And don't give up on God's work in and through your brother and sister in Christ, which we also have a tendency to do. They're such and such. I know the way they are. Make these pronouncements. They're lukewarm. They've been lukewarm ever since they received Christ. They're lukewarm last year, and they're going to be lukewarm when they go to heaven. We have no right to say that about a brother and sister in the Lord. Christ's Spirit lives in them. He could pull off what nobody else can. They would say, I need the character of Christ in my life. I think if we can take some news from the lost world. When the lost world looks at Christians, you know, they might not say, oh, here's a man, he's holy, or here's a lady, she's holy. But what they might say is this, which is very, points them to the Lord. This man's very devout. He's devout toward Christ. Or this lady, she is devout towards Christ. And then they see the goodness that God can bring to a soul. Imperfect, yes. Flaws, yes. Sin, yes. But God definitely there. And then we have a testimony before the Lord because of what He does for us in sanctification. And to ask God to produce that in us. Again, the hunger that He would want to bring about. I put just thought of five prayers to introduce to you from the Bible, and also we'll pray before our communion time. King David recognized his own need, especially after he fell flat on his face severely. He prayed this. This is a prayer for Christ's character in us. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And you can just put those shoes on and pray that to God when you sense yourself, you know, trying to be good on your own or unable to walk in God's ways. Lord, create in me a new heart. Put a new and right spirit within me. Here's a passage from Romans 7. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Christ. So even when Paul thought he was wretched, He thought, God's going to win this battle I have. I get this battle all the time with greed or selfishness, immorality, unlove. You name it. I tell our membership class every time we have a membership class, every sin you find in the world, you will find in your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a fact. By experience and by Bible. Okay? But you will find Christ, who is greater than all our sin. So He brings the character about that we need. And if we, unless we highlight Christ in the believer, what do you and I have? Just to emphasize, you and I have nothing to offer other than stale religion, self-righteousness, okay, and really spiritual deadness that even the lost guy doesn't want to have anything to do with. Because he's tried to pull himself up by his bootstraps, and he cannot do that. So when he sees Christians doing that, he thinks, they're just doing what I do. And then they're as bad as me. But to say Christ, you know, we're glad He lives in us. We want to let Him lead both our character and our conduct. Another prayer, positive, was, I can follow Christ through Christ who strengthens me. That's from Philippians 4. From Ephesians 5, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Says, Lord, control my life. Don't look for any magic bullets from that prayer other than, I want God to lead me right now so I could, you know, faithfully walk in His ways. You can do that. You have done that from the goodness of God. And then from an old Christian brother, Jesus, be Yourself in me today. And just in this series, God sharing with us His character. That He would do that. And He would be as sweet to us as heaven is. We are so glad about heaven because that's the future. But we want to be just as thankful, glad about the Lord today. And that's sanctification, Him making us conform to the image of His Son. Trust Him for that. Pray these prayers silently with me as we prepare for His table. Lord, we pray these prayers not out of rote, but out of any sincerity Your Spirit would teach our hearts. So, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. We think of our walk. We say, thanks be to God. You give us the victory through Christ. That's over even daily sin that so easily besets us. And then we pray, Lord, we can follow Jesus through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, we want You to be predominant in our lives. And then, Lord, fill us with Your Spirit. And we don't like being in control, but we like You leading and us following in Your steps. And then, Jesus, be Yourself in me today. Again, You would enjoy fellowship with God more than your own self-consciousness or first thoughts in your mind wouldn't be, how does life affect me and how am I doing? But your first thoughts would be, what's God saying to me now? And behold how good God is in this setting. Let Your faithfulness be there for us. Lord, we need Your help. Just like we prayed when we wanted to be saved, we pray to live a holy life. To have You be known in our own souls. And to bless others, certainly we want that very much. So as we meet at Your table, be near to us. Father, be with those who face surgery coming up or just coming out of the hospital. A lot of physical needs around us. Be with the Franklin Graham event coming up, Lord. We want friends and loved ones to receive You That's the point of him coming to town, obviously. Father, be with the church in Iraq. Christians, they run for their lives once again. And we ask that your mercy would be there and you would stop the violence of evil men. We pray, Lord, for soldiers in Afghanistan. Keep them safe. Thank you for their sacrifice. And we pray for the peace of Israel and its neighbors. And hear our silent prayers, Lord, as we say thank you for you and dying for us and rising from the dead to be in our hearts. Hear our silent prayers.